Brett Thomas here. I'm here with Ewan and Jeroen from Waking Up the Workplace. Hello, guys.
Hey, Brett.
Great to speak with you.
I'm so glad that you guys could make this call from Amsterdam. And just for our listeners, many of you are familiar with Waking Up the Workplace. But if you're not, it's an extremely popular online interview series with the world's leading experts on conscious business. And we have on the phone two of the three partners that put this together. And so, guys, just tell us a little bit, just bring us up to speed on basically what is it, and then let's talk a little bit about, you know, what your goals are for it and so on. So just tell us a little bit about what it is.
So I'll take a first shot at this, Jeroen, and then maybe you can chime in with anything I miss. So what is it? We wanted to put together a kind of inquiry. So we really didn't have, like, a business model or a definite direction with the series beyond. We just wanted to have an inquiry into the kind of leading edge of conscious business and what is happening in that field. And that, I mean, that includes integral business as well. I mean, it doesn't really matter what kind of label you use in a sense, but we decided to call it conscious business. And so we had this question at the heart of the series, which we wanted to explore, which was, what would happen if we saw the business of work not just as a means for trade and profit, but as a vehicle for realizing our deepest human potentials in a conscious and creative transformation? So that was the kind of central question we had, and we just kind of blasted out a list of all the awesome, cool people that we'd love to interview on that topic that we'd been fans of for years and read their books and gone to their seminars, and managed to line them up and ask them those kind of questions and explored in dialogue around what that would look like and what they were doing.
Yeah, and maybe to add to that is that besides, by the way, the two people that are on the call right now, we had a third person who also helped set it up, and that's Diederik. And right now, Diederik is celebrating his 30th birthday. So, Diederik, I know you're probably going to listen to this. So, happy birthday! A bit of the background is that Diederik and myself and another friend have already been working with a lot of the tools, you know, the intro tools, but also with materials from Otto Scharmer or Fred Kaufman, and we felt that there are so many tools out there that are actually really effective, but right now they're very often used in more different disciplines or by different people who have specialized in that, and we just wanted to open the field and open the space and label a couple of those really innovative thinkers and combining them and saying, hey, these people are all working in the same field. You know, it's not just something you can talk about or read books about, but these people are actually already making a difference with this new type of thinking. And that's really what inspired us, because we couldn't really find a combined space for that. So that's really what the inquiry was about, like, who are these people? And if we find them, you know, can we really tease out of them what they are currently doing, how are they making a difference already in the world or in the world of business?
Very cool. Well, so it's clear as you're describing it that one of your main intentions up front was to create this conversation, not a conversation with just one person, but a conversation with many people, and then by recording it and making it available online, sort of creating that conversation happening in a large community that's spread all over the world. So, and you guys certainly succeeded in doing that. I remember coming across Waking Up the Workplace through Integral Leadership Review, saw a posting there that this was coming out, and I was like, wow, that's quite interesting. And looking at all the people that you were planning to interview, I'm like, wow, that looks incredibly interesting. So beyond having the conversation, beyond it being an inquiry, what was your hope that inquiry or having this conversation and broadcasting it widely internationally, what was your desire that inquiry or conversation might lead to? Where does it go from people talking about what they're doing and what's the impact from there? What was your hope and what is your hope, assuming the conversation continues?
That's a great question. So let me go back a step. So this whole series was kind of born well over a year ago now. It was like February 2010, so February last year, Jeroen and I sat down in Amsterdam, and I kind of we were really good friends, but we hadn't really worked together. Jeroen has this consulting company that he mentioned working with these kind of tools. So I sat down with Jeroen, I got a meeting with him, and I said, look, I've got loads of energy to kind of do something around conscious business online, and I don't know what it is, but I think we could do something cool and awesome, and why don't we look into this? And we discussed it, and Jeroen, you were at least as enthusiastic as I was about it. So we just kind of put a day aside a week to start hashing this out. And trying to think about what that might look like. And we spent quite a long time, like, working out what that would look like. The desire behind it was we were both very passionate about all these kind of integral ideas or consciousness development ideas that we'd read about, and Jeroen was working around, and, you know, I'd been kind of part of the integral community for some time. So we were like, well, how do we get this out more? But not just in a kind of theoretical sense, but in like in a sense of application. Like, what do you do with this stuff? Because what was interesting about Jeroen and his partners, Diederik and Thomas, who also runs Realize with them. So when I met these guys, I knew about them when I moved to Amsterdam. But what was interesting is, like, although they'd come together around this kind of stuff, and they have this amazing story about reading Wilder on a beach in Curacao after this kind of competition they won, and suddenly this idea for the Realize was born out of that. What was interesting about those guys is, like, they weren't reading the books anymore. Like, they weren't really, like, poring over the manuscripts and reading the journals, and they were just doing it. They weren't paying much attention anymore to what was the leading edge theory and what was the leading edge concept on this. They were just out there trying to bring the stuff into the world, and that was what was so attractive to me about these guys. So Jeroen and I sat down, and we kind of started birthing this idea, and it turned into what became Waking Up the Workplace, which is a phrase that we basically stole from Realize. It's kind of like Realize's tagline. That's what Realize is trying to do. That's the kind of mission of trying to wake up the workplace. So we just kind of stole that. And so it turned into this series. And so in short, to answer your question, Brett, from my perspective, it was about how do we take initiative to bring these ideas, which can be very complex and very sophisticated and are by definition often not interesting to a lot of people at all, how do we bring those out into a really practical and enthusiasm-driving context? So we wanted to place this conversation in a place where people who wouldn't necessarily sit down and read a book on this stuff but were intrinsically motivated by these kind of ideas could come together and experience what is possible with this stuff, because there is so much that's possible, and the possibility is not being realized to a huge extent right now. And I think that's requisite. I think that's fine. That's not a critique, but it's like part of what can we do to help this emergence of this stuff. So that was basically the idea behind the series.
Nice. Yeah, what you remind me now of, you were saying, like, that we weren't really looking at the books anymore. And I think that really was the case, because, Brett, you asked about, you know, what's the hope and inspiration. And for me, it was a bit to provide the inspiration for people to just really jump in. And the way that, for example, we did that with Realize is, like, a bit almost 5 years ago, we just finished our university and we just read all these books and we just decided, like, let's just go for it. You know, we really have nothing to lose. You know, I handed in my thesis the 1st of August, and we just started up the company at the 26th of August. And we were just in the beginning like, oh, we have absolutely no clue what we need to do with this right now. Out of that really unknown side to what to do, on the other hand, there was the pressure to actually, you know, be an entrepreneur and make some income and just get going for it. And that just meant that we just had to try stuff. And if it didn't work, try it again and just try to, in a way, sell the ideas that we had. And we actually had no experience at all doing consulting. So that was really interesting to try to, like, help companies with strategy and vision and, like, these new ideas. And it was just about jumping in and trying it out. And one of the best examples for that is that I was still scanning a bit, like, new ideas. And we came up with Holacracy from Brian Robertson, and he had come over to the Netherlands to have his first visit to Europe to explain what he was doing, and it just so struck me as something that should work. And I remember being with a client, and he was explaining the issues that he had, and I told him, look, I think I know exactly what you need. It just has never been done before, and actually I don't have a clue how to do it, but I think it should really, really, really work for you. And then after some talking with the client, he was like, well, you know, all right, I'm okay with you doing it. And then I was like, all right, now I actually have to learn how to do it. So I booked a leprosy course, and I flew over to Vancouver, and I did the course there, and, you know, then actually finding out that it was a bit more difficult than I had in mind. But I just came back on a Monday, and Tuesday I started the leprosy implementation. And it was such an adventure, because I kind of had to explain, like, how it now worked and just immediately go for it. But it has been a massive success. You know, this company has now grown from 15 people to 150 people, and they've just started last week to, you know, go international, go over the border with their IDs, and they're still using the Holacracy framework. And it's just by doing these kind of things, I really realized that this stuff actually works. So instead of reading the books, I just want to try it out for myself to be able to find out, does this work? And now that I find out that it works, then I was like, all right, now the momentum is then to actually spread the word more that it works, and also how has it worked and what tools have inspired me over the last 5 years to actually make a difference, you know, in the consultancy work. So that's why my hope is really to provide the inspiration on the one hand, but also with the, you know, the examples of how you can actually apply this stuff.
That, I find that very inspiring myself, this idea of just, I'm not really sure how to do it, but it needs to be done. I feel a calling that someone needs to do this. This is something that the world needs, and so I'm just gonna go for it. And one of my early teachers, going back some 20-something years, early leadership teacher, used to say, the leader is the one who goes first.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very simple, but it's a kind of profound, too. You know, you don't have to be a CEO to be a leader or have the title or to have funding or whatever, all the excuses people have for not taking action. And in a very simple way, the leader's the one who goes first. That's it. It's the one out in front. That's the leader. And what I really appreciate about you guys is, you know, you didn't, you know, spend 15 or 20 years studying integral theory before you decided to do something. You know, you read some books. It made sense to you. Wow, this integral worldview is very resonant with my worldview. This is it. This is great. Now let's do something with it. And so I really appreciate that kind of initiative that Ewan mentioned, just the taking initiative. And I think if we just define leadership as going first, as, you know, the one in front, the one inspiring, the one doing this. And then I'm reminded that if we look back in history, the history of the human race, at each stage where there were people, leaders, who wanted to make their world better, who wanted to improve things, who wanted to help transform their tribe, their community, their situation, it took a certain understanding of what's happening and what are the opportunities and what are the challenges and what's needed. But then I think it's not just understanding. I don't think awareness is enough. I think the other thing that it takes is some courage. Just some courage to take a little bit of a risk, to put yourself out there. Do you care enough about what you believe and your understanding of the world to bring that into the world? And that's what I see you guys doing, is taking that initiative. And I'm really intrigued by, Ewan mentioned, all these new tools. Not only the tools, Jeroen, that you mentioned in terms of the integral organizational development tools, but also internet, the web, you know, email lists. You know, you really, what you guys did was rather innovative. And so can you just say anything about what your perspective is about this idea of leading from an integrally informed place, integrally informed leadership, integral leadership for short? This is itself a new concept, fairly new. So what are your thoughts about it? What's your philosophy and perspective? Do you think of yourself as an integral leader? Do you resonate with this idea of going first?
I don't really know if I've cared that much about being a leader or in the integral community in that kind of way. Mm-hmm. What I did really care about is that I see so many things happening in the world that people have no clue how to deal with that. On the other hand, all the solutions are already out there. So I just felt there was this massive mismatch. But one of the problems, if I meet people and I want to talk about what we're doing, you know, they're quite often not interested, you know, or it doesn't resonate. And, you know, I've tried it, like, really on many ways to try to explain Integral, and it often really didn't work. And then I always use this example of, you know, some wise expression of, you cannot bring a horse to the, you know, you can bring a horse to the water, but you cannot make it drink. So with my drive to really make an impact in the world, I thought, I just have to put water everywhere. So that if there's a thirsty horse, doesn't matter where.
Whenever the horse gets thirsty, there's going to be some water there, right?
Exactly. So how can you do that? Well, then you just have to think about, how can I scale my ideas? You know, what's the economy of skills? So if you then combine more the economic theory and entrepreneurship with the new possibilities like the internet is providing, then you know that, you know, if we have one interview and we offer that for free and we keep it available, you know, forever, then that is the one place that people, if they want to know something about this conscious business approach, that they could still go to, you know, wakingupthe workplace.com, and they can still find all these interviews, and they're freely available, and, you know, make their own MBA master out of conscious business and learn from that. And, you know, you just need to have the desire, you know, this, the little spark of light, and, you know, we can just offer you this complete amount of resources absolutely for free. So if you're living in, you know, other countries, and we have listeners in Asia, Australia, you know, all over the world, if you don't have the money or you cannot get the books, you know, then you can over the internet just, you know, listen to the, you know, the best essence of this material. And I think that way we have tried to use these new ideas like the web to make available, you know, these beautiful insights, so people can actually make a difference and create some impact wherever they live.
Yeah, I just wanted to follow on from that, Yerina. And I think what you mentioned, Brett, about leveraging the power of online business, I think that was something that Yerina and I kind of switched onto quite quickly when we started talking about these ideas, that A, you can build stuff without big overheads, to be blunt. It's like you don't have to pay huge amounts of money to get all these people in a room and try and build, you know, a traditional conference and get people to pay, and, you know, which is not impossible to do, but it's certainly more difficult to do. And so there's two key words for me that I think underpinned what we tried to do with this series in terms of the strategy behind it, which was sustainability and scalability, which Thierry mentioned. So the scalability of this thing is, as soon as you go online, you can scale it as far as you want to go, because people are not restricted by geographical factors or even necessarily financial factors. If, you know, for example, with this part of the series is basically that I have for free. Now, we are also looking into how do we go deeper with this, which isn't always going to be free. You know, if you want to go really deep into the more practical application and training in this stuff, then we're going to start looking at business models around it, which we're considering. Right. But right. The whole idea around the initial part of it was, how do, like Yerim was saying, how do we get these ideas out there and create all those pools of water everywhere? I love that metaphor that he uses. And the web is just the perfect way to do that. I mean, this is, it's not the only cutting edge of business, but playing in the online space is, in my opinion, it's the easiest way to start from scratch in a way. So I'm not an experienced entrepreneur. Yerim has more experience than me, but, you know, as he said, realizes 5 years old, which is considerable, but it's not like we are world experts in this stuff or have done this a whole bunch of times. We've never launched anything online before, particularly. So it was kind of like we'd read up on a load of stuff. I really geeked up on the whole internet marketing stuff and tried to get my head around that and understand the principles. And I think I was able, with my kind of, you know, vision, logic, perspectives on things, to knit these things together, to understand how these strategies were working and what was the principles behind it. And then we just kind of went out and had a go. And, you know, we had some false starts, and we played around with stuff, and we threw out a bunch of ideas, and we came back to the drawing board, and in the end, we just threw it out there. And so, to come back finally to your kind of original question around leadership, I've kind of never really thought of myself as a leader. I hope that the influence of this this series is going to be worthwhile. I think it has been so far by the feedback we've got. But I think really this was a kind of experiment in kind of, we're just interested in this and let's just have a go and see what happens. And I think it's something that you said to me privately, Brett, a few days ago, which was like the principle of the kind of the courage part of integral leadership is not being afraid of failure. And one of my favorite quotes, which is from Winston Churchill, and I'm paraphrasing, but it's something like, the definition of leadership is going from failure to failure without loss of enthusiasm. And, you know, that is just, you know, there's this kind of, there's this fallacious belief that successful entrepreneurs and successful business people, they've just got it and they nail it first time. And actually when you go into it and those successful people actually speak about their journey and their story and how they did it, they just said, no, man, the whole secret is just not giving up and trying stuff and falling on your face and getting up again and going back to the drawing board and throwing out the really crap ideas and finding the good ones and just like hammering and hammering until you find something that works. And I think that is just so needed in the integral community.
Yes, I certainly agree with that. And it comes back to me to this idea of what do you care about? I mean, if you really care about something, and if it means a lot to you, and you really feel like if other people understood what I understand, or if other people could get an experience of what it's like to make sense out of the world in this way, or to use these tools, as Jeroen said, and if they could only try it, well, if you care about something, I just have this sense that it's not enough just to think about it. It's not enough just to learn more and more and more about it. If you really care about something, share the wealth, share the love, spread that, you know. And so that's you know, this idea of leadership is just moving forward, you know, moving the tribe forward. So let's talk a little bit about the content of Waking Up the Workplace. What did you learn from doing, and you know, you'll have to tell, you have to share how many people you interviewed, and I've heard some of the interviews, and many of my friends in Integral have heard the interviews and been very, very positive about finding them to be very inspiring. So, what was it like to be you three guys, you know, coming kind of as an unknowns? A lot of folks hadn't met you at that point, and you got to start interviewing these people who, as Jeroen said earlier, you know, are people that you've read their books, they're people that you admire and respect in terms of their work and their contribution to consciousness movements and to the integral community and so on. So what was that like? And can you just share some specific examples of what you came away with in some way changed or transformed or some, you know, big insight that you learned from spending 90 minutes with all these different brilliant, talented, awake folks?
It's something that the three of us have spoken about in depth, which is that, in a way, a huge part of the experience for us as individuals and as a collective with the three of us driving this was like it really transformed our consciousness. And the way I phrased it to the guys as like, I kind of feel like we got transmission from 14 of the most awesome kind of inspiring, consciously driven business people out there. I mean, it really was like, I mean, on the one hand, it was incredibly insightful and the wisdom that was coming off these people was great. And on the other hand, it kind of like seriously kicked my butt, like coming up against these people that have just had so much success and dedication to the deeper principles behind which they are driving their work. It shone the light on where I felt that I wasn't doing that, and has inspired me to step up even higher. And I've taken practical steps in my own life as a consequence of doing that. You know, like, so to give a really concrete example, I had a fairly respectable job at a pretty high flying internet company. And I just decided to quit. So I finished 2 weeks ago, and suddenly some pretty cool projects landed in my lap as a consequence. But I just knew that I just couldn't do that anymore. And my tolerance for working on stuff that wasn't in alignment with my deeper principles just got to such a low extent that I just simply couldn't do it anymore. And then the other thing that I think I just want to mention is two interviews in particular, which I think, I mean, so many of them were inspiring. In fact, I'm not exaggerating by saying every single one, but there were two that really stand out for me. And the first one, I'll do this chronologically, the first one that really stood out was actually with your business partner, Rand Spagan. And what stood out for me was, you know, I'd heard of Spagan. I'd heard about them through the Integral Channels, and I know they were kind of held up as a pretty impressive consulting company, but I didn't necessarily know a great deal about what you guys were doing beyond that. But hearing Rand's articulation of the driving principle behind what you guys are doing, I just went, holy cow, you really will only start to think about working on a consulting base with the company if the CEO of that company has gone through extensive integral leadership training with you guys. I mean, what a ballsy business model. I just thought, these guys are putting their asses on the line by saying, you know, we're not even going to talk about that stuff unless it's going to have long-term success and long-term sustainable impact. And the discipline through which Rand articulated that you guys have had to stick to that plan where, you know, like, I love the way he framed it of, like, you won't do entertainment work anymore, where you fly in for the two-day state-inducing, excitement-inducing kind of motivational speech stuff, because it doesn't that's just state training, and, you know, it's all about creating the stages and sustainable transformation of the stuff. And I just thought, wow, that is impressive. So that was the first one that knocked me over. And then the second one was our final interview with Fred Kaufman. And I think all three of us have been huge fans of Fred's for years. You know, from a distance, I was always blown away by his ability to, A, his precision on stuff, like his ability to really, really nail stuff is incredible. And yet he does it with this unbelievably open heart, which I don't know how he does it. I just think he's an incredible human being to be able to marry those two things together. But what came out of the interview for me was, like, I came out of it going, geez, this guy is like a seriously realized mystic, and yet he's just applying this stuff in business.
The business bodhisattva, yeah.
Right, and that's the paper he wrote, and I think it's so apt. I mean, if he wasn't working in business, I think he'd be held up as this, you know, incredibly influential spiritual teacher, but his calling is obviously in business, and I'm just in awe of the guy.
I don't know if you know that, Brett, but Fred was the last call, and it's difficult to get these people. You know, it's not like, hey, suddenly you have 14 people on your list, and I'm like, oh, it's easy to get. No.
Right.
Like a year's worth
of
time.
You even got this lineup.
I mean,
it's amazing.
That's like a year's worth of time, and particularly for people like Fred, we've tried so many different ways and then it didn't work. And at some moment, we originally wanted to start the series a half year earlier, but then we didn't have like some of the names that we had, and we had already decided it wasn't going to be a business model attached to it. So we just decided, like, if there's no business model, then we really wanted to have like the best people anyway, you know, even if it's just for being able to make those connections. So we were patient and tried different ways, and then finally we did get Fred. And you know, and then the call was actually, you know, changed in time. And I know, but what was beautiful is that when you actually have the call, you just make such a strong connection. And after the call, what was really great, we had the call, and I asked Fred, like, hey, I know you're really, really busy, but, you know, would it be possible maybe for us sometime to meet you? Because he's living in Mallorca, which is relatively close here. And then he was like, yeah, I think I have some time at the end of July. So that was absolutely great. He followed up on it, and we visited him like 1.5 week ago. And
wow,
I mean, it was absolutely awesome. And I think to me, that gave a bit of a picture of, it's not just the 1.5 hours with these people, but a lot of these people, they really live it, you know, they're so much behind it. And that just gives me hope of like people applying it. And I mean, there's so much more greatness beyond just this interview, just, you know, how they come across. And that just really gives me a lot of hope. Yeah.
Well, I'm really inspired by what y'all said about using this idea of it's not just being on the phone or hearing an interview. It's almost like you form a relationship with that and their work. And there's some type of intangible quality of connection and inspiration that can happen even across the ocean, right? Even over telephone or over the internet. And I really appreciated you in using the term transmission. Many of us had teachers and worked with teachers, and there is a sense of transmission that takes place when you spend time in person with a teacher. You tend to absorb through some type of osmosis, and of course, transmission, Dharma transmission. This idea has been around forever, and that takes place. And yet, I was so moved by your point that you felt like you experienced and received a certain kind of transmission as a result of being on the phone for 90 minutes with these individuals. And that gives me hope, too, Jeroen, back to what you were saying, that perhaps if we as folks that want to bring things into the world and make a difference, and we're integrally informed, so some version of integral leadership, if we really look around and what are the latest tools? What are the latest methods? What are some innovative ways without having tons of funding necessarily or without having all the right contacts or the right schooling? What can we do? And, of course, what y'all's experiment with Waking Up the Workplace has a lot in common with the Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference. Again, using the telephone and Skype and, you know, fancy conference bridges with breakout rooms and different things with the web. Interestingly, we've had visitors from 82 countries listen to these audio recordings. I think this one is our 17th or 18th audio recording that we've done, this interview. And so we've had folks from 82 countries visit and listen to these recordings. Over 4,000 people so far, and the number's really climbing. It's like, wow. Perhaps there's something here. So kind of the final question is, what hopes do you have that might come out of y'all's participation in the Integral Leadership Collaborative Conference and being with these folks for 4 weeks, listening to, being involved with these conversations on the phone, interacting, you know, in the portal with each other, you know, studying these, comparing notes? What do you hope can come out of this?
Well, I hope that people will get the confidence to understand that they already have what it takes to use this stuff. It's not magic. It's all of these people we've interviewed, they clearly have used a lot of the experience that they had from all the previous years where they did work or where they did whatever, to use that and combine that with some of their new initiatives to just try it out. So my hope is really that people don't have a feeling that they need to wait or that they completely need to get it. Just go out there, you know, get off your seat and just try it out. Just in conversations, in the job you're having, you know, just start playing with it, you know, and it's fun. And share it with the people around you and share it with, like, the community to just, you know, what you learn. And you know, it can just go a lot quicker than you think. You know, I would never have realized, never have thought that what we tried out would realize that I would be still working with this 5 years from now. And, you know, or when the idea, actually the thought that came up to do something with these interviews and create Waking Up the Workplace, it was just a thought 1.5 years ago, nothing more. And it was a thought that between you and me and Diederik, we were just crazy enough to take it serious.
Right.
And then right now, we have completely manifested that series. And, you know, it just starts with one thought, you know. Just tune into what you really feel with your heart, you know, as a participant, and feel like what would you really want to manifest. And then whatever comes up for you, just go for it. Just try it. You know, throw it out in the world. And, you'll be surprised at how far you can, you know, you can come. And you have this beautiful quote about providence, and I have absolutely no clue how the whole quote is, but a part of it is that if you really make the decision to really go for your ideas, that, you know, doors will open that you would never have thought possible. And
right.
You know, that's really, really something that I have experienced, you know, again and again, if I just tried it. And even what you said with all the failures, you know, you just make a tremendous amount of progress if you just go for it. And so that's really my hope, that people feel inspired and that they get the confidence to just, you know, just take the first step. We start to apply this awesome material. You really don't need anything else.
It's a beautiful intention, and I really share that intention with you. Thank you for that. Ewan, what about you?
So I think I want to make a couple of points, and the first one is around that topic that I think we've been discussing throughout this dialogue, which is around action and exactly what you just mentioned, Jeroen. And the way that I want to frame it is something that I've heard Brian Johnson say, who's also going to be speaking on this conference and someone I admire greatly and consider a friend. And he made the point, in fact, it was on the conversation I think you had with him, Brett, which was about the word integral and how, on the one hand, the definition of integral is about kind of completeness or fundamental completeness, but then it's also the root of the word integrity.
Yeah.
And that for him, there is a part of integrity which is around, like, how big is the gap between what you espouse and what you value and how you actually show up and manifest in the world. And the smaller that gap, the more integrity you have, in a sense. And so I think what the integral movement has absolutely nailed is, you know, Ken's work on creating that fundamental completeness is just unbelievable, and it transformed my life, literally, reading that stuff. And I think it will transform many people's lives for, you know, decades to come. And there's a second part to that, which is that point that Brian was making about integrity, about that's, I think, the step that is calling the integral movement to next, to we have the maps and we have the completeness. Now how do we show up with the integrity to role model that and bring that out into the world? So that is what I hope that this unbelievably ambitious and phenomenal conference will facilitate for people.
Thank you for that. Wow, now I see how you guys pulled off waking up the workplace. You guys are pretty inspiring, motivational speakers, actually. You know, but it's interesting, when you really care about something, it's almost like the words just come in a certain sense, because it needs to be said. And if you're just willing to kind of give yourself over to it, as you both were saying, and it'll be there. So thank you so much for your leadership and going first with waking up the workplace, for having the courage to try it, even though no one had ever really done anything like that before in our space, and for your beautiful intentions for this upcoming collaborative and discovering together where this thing is going and influencing where it's going positively. So thank you so much for your time today, and I'm really looking forward to a deeper dive into this case study of waking up the workplace as a panel discussion at the conference.
Yeah, totally. Thank you, Brett. I really appreciate you giving the chance to talk about this stuff.
Yeah, really looking forward to it.